Welcome back to the podcast. Well, today I'm speaking to Mark Fried. In the late 1980s, Mark found himself selling the fintech of its day, which was telex machines, to financial institutions in the city. By the early 2000s, Mark's journey took on a very different path when he co-founded E2W, an organisation that is focused on supporting and helping women in their financial services careers and helping financial institutions to attract, recruit and retain them. In 2021, frustrated at the slow pace of change and recognising that we need more men, white ones, actively involved in the journey, Mark co-founded Men for Inclusion. Mark is passionate about diversity and inclusion and believes we now have the opportunity to drive lasting change. Let's go over to the interview now. Mark Fried, welcome to the podcast, sir. Good to see you.
Thank you, Simon. How are you? Doing well?
I'm very good. Yes.
Good.
Good indeed. Yeah. So look, inclusion. You know, I read in your bio, the intro, about you set up a business, E2W, which was focusing on supporting and helping women in their financial services career and helping the institutions, if I can say it rightly, attract and retain them. And now you were saying in 2021, you were frustrated at the slow pace of change and recognised that we needed more men and white ones. Explain more a bit about that. I mean, maybe the women bit first, because this is actually the second take of the podcast. I'm going to be brutally honest, because your internet died. But we were talking about, I mean, you and I had similar kind of backgrounds in terms of the 90s, you know, the yuppie era. Where it was just, you know, champagne, cocaine, Porsches and all that kind of nonsense, the Thatcher years. And it was different times, crazy times, but women were sort of seen in different places. And I mentioned before about, you know, films still now, you know, Hollywood blockbusters where they have a leading man, a leading woman, and yet the man's paid more. I mean, what the heck's all that about? It's ridiculous. So this is about, so with you, what you set up is about in the financial institutions. That's why you're perfectly placed to be on this interview. You know, what is going on? What is going on, Mark?
What's going on? What's happening? Yeah. Why are we here? What are we doing?
Yeah.
who wants to live in a world that's not fair? Who wants to live in a world where you're constrained? You're constrained in what you have to do by social by society. You and I were probably, you know, when we were born, it was probably illegal to be gay. Certainly, you know, it was well into the 1980s before I met a outwardly gay person for the first time. Heterosexual. I don't know why I had to say that, but I did. We want to live in a world, and I want to live in a world where everybody has got the opportunity to be by themselves, be themselves, to take themselves to work, to take themselves home, to be who they are. You know, when I talked to my father, he's passed now, God bless him, you know, and for a large part of his life, he was told to man up, to behave like a man, to be a man. And there was a certain role model that he had to abide by. And likewise, you know, my mother, you know, it was frowned on when she went out to work, because women didn't work, you know, after they got married. I just don't want to live in a world like that, to be frank. We see all sorts of things going on around the world today, Afghanistan, for example, where people are put into particular boxes based on their gender, their religion, their sexuality, or whatever, and they're constrained in the way they live.
Inclusivity is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. Inclusivity is about taking all of those off of us, so we can be who we are, we can be what we like, and that gives us all opportunity to pursue the careers we want, the home life we want, helps us live in a better world, a better society. To do that, and to achieve that goal, there are underrepresented groups. you know, in financial services, at the top of financial services in some sectors, you know, the top earners are 90% men. That's got to be wrong. We've got to address that.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine until that changes, it must be quite scary for a woman to be going into that, you know, bull pit. And, you know, and this is another conversation, but I've seen, you've heard of yin and yang, you know, if the yin is the more female, the yang is the more male. And I've seen a lot of women who are in that arena and they are so masculine, they almost need to shave their face twice a day. And I think actually this isn't right, because in fact, in the balance, we need to become a bit more tuned, you know, don't get me wrong, but into our female side in terms of communication, our empathy, that kind of stuff. And women kind of, you don't change. don't become more masculine, because who creates all the wars on the planet, all the fights?
Yeah. I mean, there's a good example of that in financial services. And many of your many of the listeners on the call here today will remember the Lehman Brothers crash, which was one of the causes of the last financial crisis.
What was it? Nick, what was his name?
No, that was something different. That was Nick Leeson. That was Barings. That was the one before.
That was Barings, yes. Sorry, yes. it's all a mess.
But people forget, Lehman were called Lehman Brothers, right? That was their full name. And somebody once commented that, you know, actually, if it had been Lehman Brothers and Sisters, it may not have crashed so quickly and so badly.
Interesting. Yeah.
But then somebody pointed out that actually it may have fallen more quickly and more badly if the sisters had all been encouraged to act like brothers.
Yeah.
What you really need is, you know, brothers and sisters. You need that diversity, not just of gender, but of thought processes, of ideas, of you know, the ways of doing things at the top table. And
definitely, yeah. Because I think it's we spoke about this before, because I always have a call with the guests before we actually do after the proper recording. But you know the old John Wayne, he died years ago, and that kind of attitude needs to die as well. I mean, what I was saying before about the yin and the yang, and we need to become a bit more female in terms of we need to communicate better, we need to listen more. If you think, you know, women, how they are, how they talk, and how, yeah, that attitude, oh, come on, man up, you know, we don't share our feelings, we don't cry in public, that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, I'm not saying we all have to become wimps, it's not that at all, but it's just to communicate better. Women are better communicators, and we need to learn from that. And I said, yeah, get them on the top table. What a difference that would have made. Who knows?
Yeah. And respect, listen, understand that if you're getting them at the top table, you've got a diverse top table. That top table needs to be managed differently. Back in the 80s, you know, you're talking about those times that we've all lived through, where, you know, there was a testosterone-driven boss at the top table and everybody else was just following and nodding. You know, we've moved away from that. You know, leaders are very different these days. It's not over-the-top boys, First World War. You know, it's let's sit down people and share ideas, share problems, and make sure that we all benefit from it. And you know, it's well proven that the outcomes are better because of it. So why aren't we doing it? Why should
absolutely we do that? And it's interesting, I interviewed early 2021 a guy called George Batts, who we're raising money for. He is an MBE. He's 96 this weekend, actually. And he was on the D-Day landings. He fought on the beaches of Normandy, on Gold Beach, and lost a lot of his friends. And I talked about that. How did you deal with that? And it was kind of like they just took the mickey out of each other. That's how they got on with it. And it was great line from one of the Avengers films. I think it's Captain America. He says, you know, if you get hit, you know, brush it off. If you get killed, walk it off, or something like that. Yeah, it is sort of funny. But he said in those days, and there wasn't the diagnosis of PTSD. So you know, they just didn't talk. And he knew a lot of his friends. They went off to the, they called them back then, the Nutter House, the Madhouse. And it's just, and again, coming back to talking and the communication, I think Anthony Robbins says the quality of your life is the quality of your communication. Yeah. And I think that's right across the board. And what we can learn from our, you know, our sisters, you know, and it's just when it all comes together and it's have this beautiful relationship, it's fantastic. So much can be done. You know.
I know a lot of the people within or the that are listening to this, but of course will be women naturally. I think as well, we need to look at what's happened over the last year here. With lockdown, with more people working from home. And we often hear about the challenges that women have faced during this time in having to work from home, having to homeschool, having to look after the kids and continue and hold down, in many cases, a demanding full-time job.
Yeah, yeah.
And recognizing all of that, we've also got to recognize, actually, for the first time, some men have had the opportunity to be involved in domestic life, working from home, kicking the ball around or, baking cakes or doing the school run or doing something with the family. And I know very early when we were tight in lockdown, seeing families going out for walks together for the first time, we need to learn from that and not forget it. But also, it has given a lot of men, I know a lot of men are really delighted to have been able to be part of that, to take part in and take on more of the duties around the house.
We saw lots of families sort of cycling past here down to the bay. It was beautiful. Really was lovely. That interaction. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. We mustn't lose that. And I hope there's not a rush back, and that we can capture some of these incredible opportunities that we've had and build on them. To make sure that we talk about men in the boardroom, but we need to talk about men at home as well. There's not parity there. We need to close the domestic gap as well as the gender gap.
Absolutely, yeah. Gap. So you're talking about here on the, about men for inclusion. This is something I mentioned. What are you talking about here on this men in inclusion?
Men for inclusion. Yeah, it's something that's very close to my heart. I've been a male ally, as we're called. I don't particularly like the term. For a few years, supporting and helping with E2W, with my firm, supporting and helping women to succeed and flourish in their financial services careers. Frankly, the pace of change is slow. It's not as quick as I'd like. There is a finishing line out there. But we need to get to that finishing line in an inclusive fashion. What I saw, you go to diversity and inclusion events, you go to networking events, and you're in a room full of mostly women. Actually, we need men in the room. If we're going to move to this world, if we're going to continue on the journey that we're definitely on and we're going to finish at some stage, we need more, frankly, white heterosexual men involved in the process. And what we found through our research is that some men were happy with what was being said. They wanted to be on the journey, but they didn't know how to drive the car. They didn't know what to do. They were they were scared to call things out when they saw things going wrong in the workplace. They were scared of saying the wrong things. So one of the things that Men for Inclusion do is support those men, help them to become better allies, if we want to use that word. The majority of men are in a middle group who actually just don't think this is about them. you know, diversity, you know, it's about women. It's about the LGBT community. It's about people from ethnic backgrounds. It's not about me. It's nothing to do with me. And maybe if you're talking about diversity, that's understandable. But when you're talking about inclusion, it's not understandable because there are so many benefits that we've already talked about for man in being in an inclusive environment. Essentially, Men for Inclusion is helping those mass men in the middle to understand what's in it for them and then to become better allies. There is a third group, the last group we talk about, which is the backlash group. There are a lot of people, a lot of men particularly, who feel aggrieved, who feel that they've been put back, who feel that, that actually this isn't for them. It's called them the backlash crew, the she only got the job because she's a woman crew. We look and help and support them to understand, you know, their feelings, understand where they're coming from. And quite often we find that actually if they hadn't have been saying she only got the job because she's a woman years ago, they would have been saying he only got the job because he went to the right school, the right college, the right university, or the right golf club.
We know that's true in politics, but anyway.
There are different deeper rooted challenges in there that we help get out.
So if someone's listening to this and thinking, okay, well, how can I get involved? What can I do? What can I take on board? What can I take on board to then go forward? Maybe it's the clients I'm working with. Or if someone is seeing that this something isn't right, where can they go? Oh, that's a lot of questions for you. Sorry.
Yeah. And I'm guessing a lot of the people listening to this will be going to their clients who are small SMEs. My action point for them would be to make sure that when they're going to those firms, that they are looking at and talking about diversity, talking about helping women return from career breaks, talking about how employing different types of people into the organization just changes things, just makes things better, just gives a better culture, a better working life. To some of the other people on the call, I'd also say, you know, I suspect maybe, you know, if you're a working mother, who is also a wife of a chap with a full-time career, don't try to do everything, and make sure that you're filling the gaps at home as well, that you're letting your husband or demanding that your husband does his fair share of the cooking or the childcare or some work. Make sure that's happening in your life if that's what you want. Don't put up with it and don't be the queen. You can delegate some of this stuff. And if you delegate it, let him do it. To the men on the call, which is the big call out, is if you're not involved in this today, if you don't think this is about you, it is about you. And you need to, and if you're interested, come along and join Men for Inclusion. You'll find us if you look us up on the web.
We'll inclusive. Put all the links on the podcast.
But, you know, but think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying every day. If you're a manager, if you've got a team, look around your team and think, have I got a diverse team here? When you go home, think about what you can do at home. Don't be an accidental sexist. Let's get together, drive together for a better world for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you're on a team where you're creating something, for example, and it's predominantly men, and yet you're going out and you're selling this product or service, and it's going to a whole range of, you know, different groups, well, then surely that should be reflected in your team as you get a better product which will be accepted. Because if you're only seeing it from the male's point of view, Well, is it going to work? Is it going to sell as well? Is it going to be as productive? I don't know. So,
it's an interesting thing, and there are lots of examples of things that have gone wrong because they've been designed by men for the world. You've got the safety belts, for example, in cars. You know, you're more likely to die in a car accident as a woman than a man because the safety belts have been designed or were designed to save my life, not a female life.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. If you look at the pandemic.
Why hasn't that been changed then? That's ridiculous.
There are changes happening. The pandemic, PPE, a lot of the PPE didn't fit female nurses properly. Because it had been designed for men. There are all sorts of examples. There are silly examples as well. One of the ones I like most. We all know that women take more time in the toilet. But our laws say that men's toilets and women's toilets should be the same size in terms of the cubic capacity. That's why there are more queues at female toilets than male toilets.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the rules are. Yeah.
You know, there are silly things like that, that have been created by men. The big one is the temperature in offices have been designed to make men feel comfortable, not women feel comfortable. So women are generally.
I really didn't know that. Yeah.
Cold in the office. There's loads, and there's a book, and I can't remember the book's name, but it goes into all of these little things that happen on a day-to-day basis.
Fascinating. We'll put all the links on the website. So I've got a few more questions. Well, first of all, where can people get hold of you? Just in case people aren't on the website, they listen to this on Spotify or wherever they listen to it. What's the website to go to, Mark?
www.e2w.co. It is just .co.
Brilliant. So that's Echo to Whiskey, if you want to be all clever about it.
Or East to West.
East to West. That sounds better. So the number two, W.co. Excellent.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn. So once they go there, they can pick up
everything. Yeah. Or just Google Mark for ED2W and you'll see everything that we're doing.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. So it's a penultimate question. Tell me something not many people know about you.
Oh,
here we go. He's reaching behind me. I'm looking at the video. Look at this. Guinness World Record for eating that many eggs. No, I'm joking. The concept water polo passes by the pair. It's 95 and was achieved by Mark Freed and Charlie Exall, both UK, in Tunbridge Wells, 2019, 12th of March. Good Lord. Hey, a world record holder. How the dickens did you sort of... Was that a... It's like, hey, this is an idea. Where does that come from then? Is it a drunken idea?
No, it wasn't. I've played water polo for years and it's a fantastic sport. Some people, you may have seen a little bit of it at the Olympics if you had the red button at BBC. So I've played water polo since I was 15. And it's one of the most amazing sports there are. It combines the energy and physicality of rugby with swimming and throwing and catching balls.
You must have really good core strength then for that, surely.
Yeah, and I wanted a whole bunch of challenges to do for my 60th birthday, and one of them was to break a world record. And I found out that the
good Lord
world record for consecutive passes of a water polo ball was within my reach.
Excuse the pun. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie and I.
Brilliant.
Actually, we took the world record from about 60. I think it was 65 to 95. So smashed it. And beat some Americans. Beat some Americans, which was
brilliant. I'm not just blowing wind up your trousers, but you do not look anywhere near 60.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm older than that now. So,
oh, good Lord, yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. Good for you. Okay, so the last question. Your last day on Earth, you're lying in a comfortable bed, your family around you, everything that you've ever created, written, filmed, or it's disappeared now. This podcast is now burnt or wherever. So there's no recollection of you or anything you've created, but you can leave the planet giving one piece of advice. What would it be?
love your family.
Yeah, beautiful. Love that.
Love your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Mark, it's been a total pleasure, my friend. Really, really good.
Thank you, Simon. It's been a pleasure. Happy to anybody to approach us, have a chat. Thanks for your time and thank you for listening, everybody.
Oh, it's brilliant. Well, and it is the way forward. It really is. We've got to come together. You know, it's on every level. It is really important, you know, and if you're not on board, you're going to get left behind. I think it is such an important thing. I did a webinar years ago called Big Boys Don't Cry, But Real Men Do. And the guy I interviewed yesterday before this, he's coming up, a guy called Jim Reed, and he's now the voice for Mental Health for Men. It's about talking. And this is all part of the same kind of discussion, really. It's really important. But Mark, thanks again. Very, very great to speak to you. And I do love the Lego Tower of London behind you. It's fantastic. Yeah. So you can't see these on the podcast. We should start doing these in videos. Yeah. So,
we should do. Brilliant. Absolutely. Simon, all right. Thank you very much, mate.
My pleasure. And that's it for now. Stay tuned for more podcasts and speak to you soon. Cheers. Bye.